manager with a bad temper. Lifting the lid, it jumps in, chows down with a quick breakfast of cold chicken and hard mashed potatoes, and moves on. A stop by the liquor store to resupply, paid for by collected bottles and cans, and then it's a beeline for the river. The trail hops the broken chain-link fence, half slides, half tumbles down the muddy bank, and just like that, it's home. Time to celebrate with a drink. The trail throws some wood on last night's smoldering fire and gets it blazing, just as other trails return from their journeys, their scavenging, and their adventures. The ticket to admission is booze, and each new trail brings it aplenty in bags and backpacks and bottles. You may look at the camp and see nothing but a mess. Filthy blankets, a couple of used needles, an inverted shopping cart with three wheels. What you don't know is that those are all landing lights. They are signals to the other drunks and other druggies still soaring high. When the time comes and the wings fall off their heroin high or fortified wine blitz, the lights of the broken bottles will beckon. Crash land here with us, they call. Crash land here with us. Should you be so inclined, you could climb over the guardrail and down the embankment. You could stomp into one of their makeshift camps and start kicking bottles, shattering glass, kicking ass, howling at the top of your lungs. But all you would get from the Stevens would be blank stares, confused swigs of boxed wine, and eyes as empty as the bottles scattered at their feet. Yes, the alcoholics are ER people, people between the notes. But they are not the only ones. In room 5, there's Mandy B. She is an addict. A Benadryl addict. Yep, you heard me right. Benadryl. 2 or 3 times a week, she consumes industrial-sized boxes filled with the pink pills of antihistamine. Popping them like candy, she departs this world for her space between the notes. Inevitably, someone sees her wandering about the Walmart parking lot, walking in front of cars, picking at power line poles, talking to people only she can see. The police are called, the medics are called, and then, like the prodigal daughter, she is brought back to her people, the people of the ER. She stumbles about the emergency department, her muscles herky-jerky like a turkey that is half decapitated and staggering about the barnyard the day before Thanksgiving. She tries to walk. Her every movement is a stop-start, 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 stop. Her lips purse and words slur. Her giant pupils dilated like 2 black moons stamped into a beet-red face. She swats at spiders and snakes and creepy crawlies that only she can see as they skitter and scatter and melt back into the walls, into her skin. "Go back into your room!" I shout as she stumbles out into the ER for the 15th time in 15 minutes, blabbing about some bat or cat or hat that she saw spiraling out of her hand. Yes. Mandy B. is definitely one of the ER people. Don't get me wrong. There are other people here, too. What you might call normal people. People like you. In room 11, a businesswoman named Shelby with the flu. In room 6, a 4-year-old girl named Tammy with an earache. In room 9, a 70-year-old man whose name I can't remember right now. He has pneumonia. When these people look out at the world, they only see others like themselves. The ER people are invisible to them. If they do see them, they are a brief curiosity at most, an afterthought, like the dog with 3 legs that gimps past your house on a Tuesday afternoon. You watch it pass by and then forget about it. But I don't. I can't. Not when I keep seeing them. Anthony, for example. He's in room 8. Anthony is a Coke fiend, and not the soda kind. I see him every other Monday of the month. The Monday that follows the weekend after his paycheck. The paycheck he spends on cocaine and prostitutes. Lately, it's been cocaine-induced chest pain that has brought him to the ER. His weekend habit of touching the sun has finally burned him. The scorched myocardium of his heart draws droopy ST depressions across his EKG, the lines stomped down by 48 hours of coke, sex, techno, and chemical joy. Joy that fills and just keeps on filling his 47-year-old heart until it creaks and groans and starts to spill its precious troponin. Try not to use drugs, my counselor.